I'm excited to announce our newest event, How to Speak Live. I reflect on my career, and one of the biggest turning points for me was when I focused on communication as a skill. Not only did it help me attract more clients and close business faster, but it really was an overall life skill that helped boost my confidence in a lot of arenas in my life. So on November 17th and 18th, I will host a two-day event here at my office with a professional speaking coach, and I'll be there live workshopping with you for you to level up your confidence and your ability to communicate clearly so that you can help clients understand what you're communicating to them so they take action faster. Don't miss this event. I'll see you there. Visit How to Speak Live to secure your seat now. Welcome to this episode of Becoming an Elite Financial Advisor. My name is Sten Morgan. We've been unpacking our RESIST framework. I found there's so many things us as advisors can work on, but how do we stay focused? How do we know what the most important thing is to focus on and actually move that ball forward each week? I think that's how we get great results instead of just getting average results over time. In our prior episode, we talked about revenue and prospecting. I would say for a lot of us, revenue and prospecting is important, but at times it's not the most important thing for us to improve. So today we are going to talk about execution. And this also folds into leadership, your business owner skills. So I'm going to ask some questions that you can self-evaluate later in the episode, but I also want to talk about what's good leadership and why is that even important for us as advisors. Let's get started. This topic of leadership and execution is a big part of my story, mainly because I look back and I wasn't very good at it. I did not have mentorship in this business. A lot of my learning was trial and error. I'm thankful I just kept trying and iterating, and kind of failure led to lessons and success over time. But as I look back and I coach a lot of advisors, I realize leadership, not only of yourself and accountability, but if you want to reach your potential, you have to have a team. You need to be able to grow. And part of that is communication skills, sitting in conflict. But even as practical as, do you know how to hire people? Do you even know what position you should hire for next? And when you do hire somebody, are you setting really clear expectations? Are you keeping them accountable in a challenging, firm, yet kind, curious way? So we're going to unpack all that in today's episode, and I'll share my experience. But initially, I want to talk through, like, why is this important? I talked to a lot of advisors, and they wouldn't argue, hey, Sten, someday I know I need to hire somebody, but I don't know if they think it's a priority. The priority is, how can I just make money this week or next week? And not necessarily looking at the long game. How do I grow an organization and a team so I can stop spending my time on things I shouldn't be doing? So through this episode, try to be honest with yourself. Try to grade yourself, you know, from average to elite, where do I think I am when it comes to execution and leadership? Because for you, as you listen, you may say, this is my main point of resistance. I want to get better and make, you know, this will help my business grow the most in the near term. Or you may say, that's one that I need to focus on at some point, but I'm not ready to build a team yet. There are still pieces of this episode that you need to start working on. You can always become a better leader by putting yourself in certain situations, by reading books, being around other advisors at practices you want to look like. So this is an episode I think all of us should focus on and learn from. All right, let's start with, why does it matter? I mentioned that you will not reach your potential without a team. The average path as an advisor, let's just say that's the path we will get swept up in if we're not intentional about it, is you'll get in the business, you'll learn to sell, because that's how you make money. Whether you're selling insurance or managing assets, you need to get in front of people and get them to buy something from you. As you get to better at selling, you'll probably learn more about the products as you go. And then as you get to know more people, you're going to pick up momentum and eventually get more business. As I look back, there's nothing more average than that. Don't be a great professional that knows about what you're doing. Just sell and grind and grind and hope eventually it works out. Within EAN, we say, no, you are the professional. You are the product. So you need to be talented. You need to have certifications. You need to be a great advisor. You need to know how to ask great questions and lead people, communicate to get them to take action sooner, more than just saying, I can sell products well. Over time, if you want to help more people, make more money, and work less hard, you need a team. You need to identify the things you're doing that you are not uniquely gifted to do, that are not your superpowers, and try to delegate those to other people on your team. I realized in my career when I was young, I was spending a lot of time on paperwork. It was non-revenue generating activities. I found a prospect, convinced them I was a good fit for them. I had solutions. They said yes. And then the train slowed down as I had to kind of build stuff, onboard them. So it was pretty obvious early on, I need somebody to help with the administrative side, that somebody that enjoyed that because I didn't. And so I made that hire. Then I looked at my schedule and I said, man, there's still a lot of meeting prep, sending notes to clients, Salesforce notes, all this stuff that maybe not an admin role needs to do, but not a full-time advisor. And so I hired my first pair planner, junior advisor. And then we started growing. And I was like, this is great. And then I had another advisor join. And then that means we need another admin person to support that. And then I realized I'm spending a lot of time making sure the office rent gets paid and doing business operations things. So then I had a director of operations role get added. And at that point, I was still managing the investment portfolios on my own, which I enjoy, but was time consuming. And so then I added a portfolio manager, CFA, to the team to help manage that part. So this came to me in a more reactionary way when something was on fire or I was overwhelmed, I then tried to hire. My hope for everybody listening is that you can be more strategic than that. That you can know at all times your next hire or your next hire. And you're identifying that by looking at your calendar and saying, what is taking me out of my superpower? The things that are most profitable and most effective. In order to go down that path and do it in a healthy way, there's a difference between growing a team and leading people and growing a healthy team and leading people well. Since I did not have experience in that, I had a heart. I wanted to love on people and serve people well. I paid people well, but I didn't lead people well. And what ended up happening was it turned into me almost 100% turning over my entire company over a year and a half, 2 year period. So as we think about, and if we can agree that in order to reach your potential as an advisor and live in your superpowers, you need a team. And to have a team, you need to be a good leader. You need to work on those skills. And in line with that is you don't want to create a job that owns you. I think most of us as business owners or advisors, we think of ourselves as business owners, but a business owner can step away from their business and the business thrives. A business owner can also maybe step away from their business and it maintains. But if you step away from your business for 2, 3, 4 weeks and it starts falling apart, or you don't have enough support to where, you know, clients call and they get no service from anybody, at that point you are a high paid employee to yourself and you are not running a true business. So if you're new to the business, you know, you're saying, Sten, I need more revenue, I need to learn to hire people, and you can see the future being I am a business owner, entrepreneur, as opposed to just a highly paid, hardworking salesperson, that's a good way to start because you know what you're shooting for. You need to develop new skills and view of business. This is kind of strategic thinking. There's times when I've interacted with advisors when I think we're speaking a different language. When what they think about is, how can I add more AUM, sell more insurance, and it's more of this kind of brute force mentality. And I could tell they have yet to step into like a business owner position where they're thinking strategically. It's smarter, not harder. They also become more aware of themselves at this point. You know, this is probably when humility starts setting in. At least it was for me. When I was like, oh, I'm a great advisor. I'm putting up good numbers. People are noticing me. But I hadn't been beat up enough to enter a room with a little more calm confidence, as opposed to like, hey, I'm here, let's get stuff done. So you'll sense as you have more repetition and you start thinking of yourself as like, I want to develop myself into a healthy, good leader. You'll start becoming more self-aware. That's what I've seen in me. And I've also seen that in other business owners I work with. That's part of kind of growing personally. I think great leaders are really aware of themselves. They ask great questions. They can be intense and push for results without making people feel bad about themselves. And that was a fear I had is in my entrepreneur journey, I started by like, I want to be a boss that everybody loves. I want somebody to come work here and work here for the rest of their career. There's so many variables in there I can't control. Are they going to move? Or are they just going to decide to try something else? And so I lived in like a constant somewhat fear of if I held somebody accountable, or maybe if I didn't pay them enough for what they thought they should get paid, if they left, that would hurt me a lot because of the workload it would create. And I would take it personally. Well, what did I do wrong? until I started doing more personal work and I realized there's only certain things within my control. And there's a difference between being a nice leader and being a kind leader. A nice leader lets people kind of do what they want and doesn't give them much structure, doesn't have hard conversations. Where a kind leader encourages, challenges, leans into hard conversations, but they do it with curiosity. They set really good expectations up front so it doesn't feel like they're always moving the goalposts on people. They can sit in difficult conversations and not react emotionally. There's times in my world where somebody being triggered me, and all of a sudden we're just two traumatized, triggered people going back and forth. And you know, more recently, within the last 4 or 5 years, I've had some conversations with friends and even peers in the advisory space where they got really fired up about something. They thought something was happening, got pretty upset at me, and I was able to kind of sit in it with them and let them kind of calm down. And by the end of it, it's like they just needed to get it out. And they were kind of embarrassed, but I was like, hey, it's fine. I've done that too. What question do you really have for me? Like, let's get past all the emotion on the surface and figure out like what's really going on. So I think as a good leader, that's one element, is that if you lean into this and start getting good reps, it will grow you whether you like it or not. But the hope is that you don't resist it as much, that you're open to minded to growing. Part of growing is recognizing, oh, the way I've been doing it's not good. It could be better. I'm not going to shame myself, but if there's a area of improvement that can benefit me and those around me, I'm open minded to it. I think there's an element of lifting up others. A good leader, it's not a scarcity mentality. It's the idea of I want to elevate other people, and if I do that well, you know, all ships can rise at the same time. And then it's, I think there's some care for your clients. To grow a team helps your clients know there's more to this business than just Stent or you as your advisor if you're a solo advisor. What would happen if something happened to you to all of your clients' financial plans? I don't think I'm so important that if they lost me, their financial future is doomed, but there would definitely be some disruption, them having to find another advisor as an advisor that they can trust. So what are you doing as a business owner to care for your people, care for yourself, but also set up a healthy business that is not solely reliant on you? One piece I want to mention real quick, I think there's a lot of nuance and soft skills to leadership and improving that and improving yourself. But one piece when it comes to being a good business owner and leader that I've been challenged on in the last few years is data. Are you making business decisions based on data points or are you doing it based on feeling? Yeah. And a lot of times for advisors I meet, they do strategic planning in October, November. They set some metric goals, some AUM goals, and then they just go to work. And then they look at it the next November and they just hope it worked out. I've had to shift my companies to where we have monthly scorecard meetings where we're looking at key metrics because I want to know on the fly, are the things we're doing actually yielding the results we want? So if you're listening and you do not have a scorecard, get one soon. And it can be simple. For an advisor, you could say, what are my expenses? What's my revenue for the month? You may also say, I'm going to track new AUM. One thing we track is net new AUM, meaning if we get new assets in, yet we have monthly distributions going out, what is our net new contribution to our book of business each month? Maybe you track financial planning fees. One thing we track is our A, B, and C level clients. I want to know, like, are the A level and B level growing or is only C level growing? Well, maybe the we need to make a different move if the segment we want to grow is not growing. Data is king. You can project off of it. You can make faster decisions off of it. If you're in our community, this is something we really push on. And if you don't have a scorecard, reach out to us and we can help you get one. Because a good business owner knows their data well. All right. So in preparation of kind of unpacking this together, I would say I've had a good amount of experience in business, had a bunch of employees, done things, you know, the wrong way, the right way. Have gotten great feedback from team members. I've gotten criticism from team members that they've exited over the years. It's like, what makes up a good leader and how can we agree on these things and then focus really on like, what's the area that you can improve upon the most? Let's celebrate if some of these come to you natural. That's great. But there's a level of intentionality around leadership to say, I tend to fall short in that. For myself, I can be pretty direct. I have to tell myself to pause and have kind of social conversations with the team. And part of that is because I think from the early stages, I couldn't afford to have, you know, water cooler talk. I was the person making the money, keeping everybody's jobs. So I got in the mode of like, Sten gets in his office and he just cranks it out. And then he goes home because he doesn't want to stay late. He has a family to get home to. But there's an element of like coaching and leadership and knowing your people well that was a weakness of mine that I had to work on. I started getting the best results when I started focusing more. Instead of trying to solve multiple problems at once, I started focusing my time, energy, and money on solving my biggest area of resistance first, so then I can move on to the next one. Are you aware of the biggest area of resistance in your practice? I built an assessment to help you identify that area so that you can focus all of your time, energy, and money on solving it as quickly as possible. Visit gobeelite.com to take the assessment now. All right. So what are some key traits of good leaders? One is, I think, clarity of vision. I have ideas. And in the past, when I share my ideas with too many people on the team, the feedback I've received is we're always changing who we are. To me, I'm just brainstorming out loud. But if I overshare too quickly, I've realized that I'm not giving clarity. That clarity is a gift to team members when we feel like we're rowing in the same direction. That doesn't mean I can't get in the conference room on my own and get on the whiteboard and have a bunch of ideas. And I keep a separate list of like, hey, potential new ideas in the future. And I let those bake for a little bit. And then maybe, you know, one out of every 10 kind of makes it down to the team. I just had to come up with a better process there that helped me say, hey, here's who we help. Here's how we're going about it. Let's get to work. Empathy and emotional intelligence is another one that came up when I was researching this. I struggle with this because the first thought I have is like, that sounds kind of soft. Does that mean I can't be like an intense leader that pushes for results if I'm empathetic and emotionally intelligent? I've joined a group called Tin Man. So once a week, group of us guys jump on a call and we kind of sit and unpack and talk about like, what does it look like to be aware of what you're feeling? I'm good all the time. Like I feel good. I'm blessed to be alive. Like I'm pretty optimistic. But I lack a sense of awareness of like, no, this week is kind of heavy for some reason. Like it feels like things aren't really going my way. This, you know, I feel betrayed by this person. This client left and I have no idea why. That I think there's a wisdom in just being aware of what's going on and how it's affecting you. But I've also learned that doesn't mean I have to lose my edge. Being a more real person and being aware of yourself actually makes you more relatable, which for team members, you know, connection comes from being real and them knowing you to some degree. So empathy and emotional intelligence is one I had to wrestle with because I didn't really understand what it meant. But the great leaders I've been around have an element of this. They are the calm, confident, you know, Yodas that are just sitting there hearing you out, and then they ask you a couple of good questions and show you the path. So this one is an important one. I think some of it comes over time and life experience, but it's good to know, is that a strength or a weakness of yours? Accountability without blame. For me, accountability, I always start with questions now. I didn't used to do this, but it's, you know, how did you come to that conclusion? What did you think we were trying to accomplish? How do you think that went? I had a marketing person I hired once, and she was going to run an event for us. And I said, sounds great. Here's the room. Here's some people that I know that want to come, but she was really confident she could fill the room with people. Probably had 2 months to fill the room for this business owner event, and you know we're a week out and there's like one person registered, and so all of a sudden I start just calling people, that frantic, you know, fill it a room energy, and I got, you know, 8 more people there, but there were a couple clients and a couple friends, and it just wasn't the outcome we wanted. And when I debriefed with her and I was like, how do you think it went, she said, oh, it was intimate. And I was like, that is a great spin on I didn't get any people there. And so the accountability piece there is just kind of calling to light, like, how do you think it went? I decided not to really lean into that because her response kind of told me everything. If a marketing person cannot tell me I dropped the ball, man, I thought I was going to have 15 to 20 people and I got one on my own, that's unacceptable. Then it's almost like we're playing in two different universes and it's not even worth trying to change that. So with accountability, I do think there's times if you set good, clear expectations up front, you've afforded yourself the right to lean in a little bit more with them. Resilience, calm and chaos. We talked about that a little bit already. I think effective communication is really important. For me, I've found with a lot of times with frustrated people when I've been working with them is when they didn't quite understand what we were trying to accomplish. And part of me hopes that they would ask the right question. But I'm also realizing, okay, I need to say, do you have any questions? Are you clear on this? It's almost taking the onus to say, I'm going to be extra sure that we're on the same page before you start this project. Because as the leader, maybe more of that responsibility falls on me. Great team members are going to come back. There's going to be a feedback loop and they'll ask, but maybe you have somebody that hasn't had guidance like I didn't when I was a young advisor. And are you willing to step in and be that person for them? They could teach them how to think about these situations. So I think those are just great kind of good leadership principles. Now I want to kind of say, well, what does it look like not to be a good leader? I don't know if I'd say you're a bad leader, but I think there's great people out there that just are not good leaders. Leading by fear or control. I've done this in the past, and it's not, I'm not flipping desks or yelling at people, but I had the sense of fear going on of like, man, if I don't micromanage people, they're not going to work hard. They're going to try to skate by. And a lot of times that wasn't even precipitated off that person. It was just kind of my past experiences of maybe other people I hired that didn't do a good job. I've tried to become more aware of when I have that feeling of energy of like, and it's kind of intense at times for me. I don't know where in my story it comes up that if people are showing up late, leaving early, you know, taking a PTO day last minute, that I feel like taking advantage of as a business owner. I'm like, man, it's not their money. Like they're not really thinking about me. That's most likely usually not the case. And so I have to sit in that feeling and say like, okay, what conversation needs to be had here? And this happened with PTO where some people in our company got in the habit of saying, hey, I'm taking PTO today, but they do it the morning up. And we're like, that's pretty last minute. Obviously there can be some emergencies, but every one of these situations wasn't an emergency. And so instead of kind of responding with that, you know, am I being taken advantage of and fear guiding that, I got with my director of ops and we said, hey, on our next quarterly reviews, let's just remind everybody on here's how the PTO process works. So I'm not going to put somebody, you know, call them to the court and, you know, talk to them in front of everybody, embarrass them at all. It's probably not the hill to die on, but it is an important thing to bring up. It's just, when do I do it? If I'm operating out of fear, it's probably immediate. If I'm not operating out of fear, I can sit in that and be a little more strategic about it. I think avoiding accountability, kind of blaming others. If you're the owner, it kind of falls on you. Hey, I should have communicated that better. Hey, what do you think we could do better next time? Are you giving off like this collaborative spirit, this positive energy? When I turned over my whole team over an 18-month period, because I realized, Sten, your soft leadership style attracted really nice people, but those people were not results-oriented team members. They didn't do great with accountability. They blamed others when they didn't get results. They were really good at acting busy, but they didn't really didn't move the ball forward. I had to say, okay, why did that happen? And I realized, Sten, that was your leadership style that allowed people to come in, hang out, not get results, and stay too long. So at the end of the day, that fell on me, and I had to sit with the feeling of like, the fact that I had to let those people go and their worlds were disrupted, you know, they had a lot of opportunity to rise up and I tried to redefine expectations and let them stay. But a lot of that did fall on me at first. Failure to develop others, I think is important that as a leader and a business owner, there is some amount of ownership on you to help people grow. When I hire young advisors now, at times I'll ask them in one of the interviews, I'll draw a circle on the whiteboard and I'll say, if this is all of the energy needed for you to reach your full potential someday, what percentage of this is your responsibility and what percentage is mine? And then I'll just go quiet. My hope is that it's a majority of them. And in my mind, I've landed on somewhere around 80-20. As the business owner, I will take 20% of the responsibility to guide you, give you reps, be available for you, create a healthy environment. But 80% of that is you. It's if you see something wrong in the firm, bring it to our attention. If there's something you can do better, you should grow. We use the poem a lot, The Man in the Arena. And it resonates so much with me. And the idea, the core idea is like, if you're on a team, if you're in a business, are you in the arena back to back with your team members helping get results? Or are you sitting in the stands pointing and judging? And I've let go of a handful of people over the years that like in their exit, they all of a sudden spew a bunch of stuff. Well, you did this, like you never appreciated me. Like all these, I'm just like, that never came up. Like, obviously you're venting, you're emotional now, but if you hold on to something and you're not sharing it, like people can't read your mind. That's more of a you problem than the leader problem. But you do have to know, did I do what I could to help these people? And so for us, practically to shift that is, I want to have a really clear 30, 60, 90 day plan. I want people to know, here's the expectation. You can always exceed it. And if you're curious on what it looks like to exceed expectations, I'm happy to have that conversation. But for the first 3 months, here's what a big win would be. In 6 months from now, if you were able to do X, Y, and Z, that would be a big win too. Do not keep it in your head. And I've done this in the past. And all of a sudden I have this kind of air of disappointment and they feel it because they're not impressing me, but they didn't even really know what it meant to impress me. Part of that is because I didn't have clear expectations and I just worked really hard and tried to win. And part of me wants other people to do that. But as a leader, you can't expect everyone to be you. I don't want to hire a bunch of Stens. That wouldn't work out well. But as a leader, there's a certain requirement, in my opinion, for you to be available and help move people along. So as I wrap it up, as you hear this episode, I hope you're assessing, I have good leadership skills. I just need more experience and reps. I think I'm a good leader at my level, but I know there's going to be different challenges that come. So how can I prepare for that? But here are five questions that you can ask yourself to self-assess. First one, do I create clarity for my team or do I leave them feeling confused? Sometimes you just need to ask. You may think you're being clear. This is the same with the clients we work with, where you may talk about a bunch of financial strategies and have this hour-long meeting. But at times it's helpful to say, but does that make sense? Like, what are you hearing me say is the most important thing for us to focus on to make sure that you guys are on the same page? Next question. Am I building trust through my actions or am I eroding it with inconsistency and ego? Are you trying to hold people to a standard you don't hold yourself to? Is this, you know, moral behavior that you're doing that people are like, oh, I don't trust that person. They're unpredictable. Is it work ethic? Are you like, everybody needs to work hard, but I'm rarely here? How are you leading? Are you following through and building trust with consistency? Are you showing up when team members need you? Are you aware of the needs in their life? For our team, I'm like, if somebody has a need, I want to know about it because how can we show up for them and show them that we care? It's not just about what you can give me when you're in this office, but it's a longer, bigger thing than that. Question three, am I helping others grow? Or am I unintentionally limiting their potential by micromanaging or neglecting development? There's times where I'll take a 1-2 week somewhat hiatus or trip from the office, still available for my clients, but I try to stay out of operations because I want to know, like, are people able to stand on their own? But if I keep micromanaging them, like I did when I was a younger business owner, I'm never really giving them the chance to solve a problem on their own or to feel the pressure of that accountability. And so micromanaging is dangerous. And then just neglect. When I got into the business, I worked with an advisor and he was really hard to get a hold of. I remember there's times I'd say, hey, can I get an hour with you? And you'd think this guy was the president of the United States because he just couldn't find the time. And whenever we would, you know, sneak in a lunch together, and this guy, I was working directly with him. You know, I would have hoped he would have been a mentor. We'd have a rushed 30-minute lunch with really no substance. And so for me, my first experience in the business as a full-time advisor was, okay, I don't want to be like that person. So if I'm going to lead, it's not to just burn through people and grow a business and make more money. It's, you know, grow a healthy culture and grow a healthy business, and then we'll help more people and then in turn make more money. Fourth question, do I challenge people to rise to their potential while making it clear I'm in their corner? I think there's some great coaches that can yell at you and you feel good about it. I don't know anybody listening, if you've had those experiences where you leave a meeting or if you played sports or something where you're just like, I think I just got chewed out, but like I'm inspired and fired up at the same time. And I've handled that really poorly at times with people where I'm just like, we're just adults, let's get down to business. But they felt kind of blindsided, not cared for. And I've learned now that I always tell people, hey, we need to have a meeting and this is what we're going to talk about. So they're somewhat prepared. Don't say, hey, we need to have a meeting at 4 and then just like blast them with it. Hey, if you can bring this. The more prepared somebody can be, try not to catch them off guard. I found that's better. Last question. Do I have the courage to make tough decisions, even when they're unpopular but necessary? We were on a call as a community a week ago, and I was talking to one of the guys, and I said, what's the most courageous thing you could do for your business right now? And his feedback was like, he really liked the way I framed that because it kind of challenged him to say, like, am I doing anything courageous right now? Or am I kind of just taking the easy way out, avoiding hard conversations, avoiding segmenting my book because I know I may need to transition some clients to somebody else? Great leaders. There's a really cool book called Not Nice. And it was how to be a kind leader, but like a courageous leader and not just be the nice leader that everybody likes. So I'll leave you with this, is that as you try to grow yourself as a leader, maybe you're currently a leader and you're saying, I need to get better. Are you courageous? I think courageous means you ask questions and you're ready for the feedback because you're willing to get better. I think courageous is when something's dysfunctional, instead of letting it go too long and hurt more people, you step in. That word really resonates with me. Courage is, I'm probably scared of this conversation, but I'm going to do it anyways, is that I would say elite leaders always have courage to get better, to be humble, and to challenge others, and to be on the front line with people and help them get better. Hope you enjoyed the episode. I'll see you next time.